Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston, and this is Insights for Eternity. God bless you all as we study the book of Luke. And today we'll be looking at Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56, the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter and of the woman with the flow of blood. And we'll be looking into how faith works. So before we start that, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God of gods. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords, and you reign in heavenly realms. And we ask that you will pour out your grace, your peace, and your wonderment at us as the work of Jesus Christ, as he walked upon this earth, doing great and wonderful miracles. And we cast ourselves upon you, and we ask that you will open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and grant us to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at the passage, Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56, and I'm using the English Standard Version. Now, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any more." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear. Only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him, except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given to her to eat. Parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So here we see Jesus responds to people who have faith. Here the woman who touched Jesus had faith and she was made well. Here the family that had faith, that it says here, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." On both occasions, the power of Jesus Christ flowed out of him into people and into situations where faith was present. And all the other people pressing in on Jesus, they were not healed as the woman with the flow of blood was healed. She had tried all human resources. They had not worked. Along came Jesus. She was desperate, and her desperate faith made her touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was instantly healed because her faith made her well. Now, our faith does not operate in and of itself. You have to have faith in the right person. You have to have faith in the right thing. If you have faith in a dishonest politician, that's all you'll get. But when you have faith in Jesus, you will see your way forward. Jesus will heal you. Jesus will raise you up. It is your faith plus the power of Jesus. Faith connects us to God. Faith means that God's power can flow into our lives, while unbelief means that God's power does not flow into our lives. So faith has to be in a valid object. Faith has to be faith in Jesus and in God, not in some idol, not in a politician, not in money, not in the things of this world. But you must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Those desperate feelings in your heart, cry out to God and believe that God can change your life. You see, sometimes this world has no answers for us. And this was the case with the woman with the issue of blood. She had been ostracized for all these years, and she had spent all her living, all her money on physicians, and the world couldn't deliver. For 12 years, she'd been digging money out of her pocket, saying, "Please, please heal me. I'm tired of bleeding like this. I'm tired of being sick. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." Have you ever thought that? That you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you need God to turn up in your situation and make the difference. And she saw Jesus there, and everyone was waiting for Jesus. He'd come, and there he was in Capernaum, and everyone said, "Here's Jesus. He's come back to Capernaum. We're all waiting for him." And there's a whole crowd pressing around him. And this one woman in the crowd is the woman that Jesus ministers to. And she just creeps up behind him and touches the hem of his garment. And that this was a rabbi's robe, we believe. We believe it was a special robe that rabbis wore that had tassels at the bottom. And those tassels in some way were the authority of the rabbi. So he's wearing his rabbi's robe, and people called him rabbi. He seems to have had some acknowledgement among people as being a rabbi, a teacher among the Jewish people. And so he was wearing the rabbi's robe. She bent down and touched the tassels of his robe, where it was thought the rabbi's authority dwelt, and the power flowed into her. And you have to believe that Jesus is real, and that Jesus has authority, and that Jesus can command his blessings upon you. And in this case, Jesus didn't even turn around and tell her to be healed. She just touched him, and the power flowed out of Jesus into her without Jesus saying a word, waving a hand, reaching out and blessing her, or doing anything. She just knew that Jesus was inherently good, inherently powerful, and that healing would flow from him to her. And Jesus himself says, "Power came out of me." His anointing was upon him. He was in the power of the Holy Ghost, and he felt something happen. He said, "Who touched me? Who touched in my power? Who reached out to me in faith?" So that power came out of Jesus and into this grieving, tremendously traumatized lady who was seeking after God and seeking after all that God could have for her. So what do you need to do? You have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to touch Jesus, and you have to acknowledge that this world has no answers for you. It really doesn't. The physicians of this world, we believe that medicine is a good thing, and I hope that you take your malaria prophylaxis and all the things that can help you there, and do not neglect good health and good diet and all those things. But there are times when the physicians fail. There are times when the physicians really have no answers, and they try their best, and they just cannot do anything for us. And we need the healing of God. Recently, I had a terrible back pain and sciatica, and nothing was working. And my pastor prayed for me, and I felt a warmth, and my back was much better. God healed my back pain. And God can heal you as well and the members of your family. And if you believe, then God's power will be available to you, because God is merciful and God wants to have grace upon you. But the price of everything is faith. And you must believe, because that's how it works. When you believe what God says, when you trust in God, when you trust in Jesus and his goodness and kindness and blessing, then you will receive. If you have unbelief and hardness of heart, you do not receive. Those who do not believe are not saved. And then there is doubt. Those people who doubt God, who is neither believing nor unbelieving, but up and down, they receive nothing from the Lord. It says that in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. So that you don't want to be an unbeliever. You don't want to doubt. You don't want to be in rebellion. You don't want to be in disobedience. You want to be in that precious place of faith where you can receive the blessings and power of God. So the next thing is Jairus. Jairus was the original person. He comes down and he bows down before Jesus. Here's Jesus. He's a carpenter and a rabbi. And this man, Jairus, is the ruler of the synagogue. He is of high social status. But he bows down before Jesus because he recognizes that only Jesus can heal his daughter, who's 12 years old and desperately sick, and a beautiful young girl, and his heart is breaking. It's the father's heart, and he's breaking. And he humbles himself. He humiliates himself before this crowd, bowing down before Jesus and crying out for Jesus to come into his house and heal his beloved daughter. And we see that Jairus's heart is breaking here, and he is in an attitude of broken-hearted humility. And this is a great place to be before God. He is desperate, he is broken-hearted, he is humble, he is putting aside his social status. He is not clicking his fingers and saying, "Jesus, come here. Jesus, do this. Jesus, do that." And you know, there's some people who are like that. They want God to turn up whenever they click their fingers. They're full of pride. They are not bowed down before God saying, "Lord God, if it is your will, come and heal me. Come and heal my daughter. Come and do this and come and do that." The people that are arrogant, they're commanding Jesus to do this and commanding Jesus to do that as if they were God. We've got to remember that Jesus was God. He's God in human form. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And we don't get to boss Jesus around. We must go humbly, but boldly, before the throne of grace in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. We go boldly to the grace. Jairus was bold. He was importunate, to use an old-fashioned word. He pressed in. He threw himself on the ground, probably crying and weeping and wailing and desperate for his daughter to be healed, even though he was a man of dignity, a man who was a big man in his community, someone that the community looked up to. He put all that to one side in order to get Jesus to come to his house. And we just got to think about Jairus here. As he's got a dying daughter, he knows the matter is urgent. And there Jesus is, and suddenly Jesus says, "Oh, I felt power go out from me when the woman touches him." So he's there. Jairus is right next to Jesus when the woman touches Jesus, and the power goes out, and he thinks, "It's gone away. The power has gone away. That woman's touched him, that woman that was bleeding, this woman who was a lowly part of the community, a rejected part of the community, she's taken away my blessing." But that can't happen. Jesus has plenty of blessings for everyone. And she did not take away the blessing of Jairus. The power was still there. And Jesus was still able to raise Jairus' daughter. When a miracle happens for one person, it does not mean that your miracle is not going to happen. God has plenty of blessings available for all of us. So do not get jealous of the person who gets a miracle ahead of you. I don't know what Jairus thought. It's not said in Scripture. But I imagine he thinks that woman who's been on the edge of our community, that smelly woman, she's got my blessing that was going to come to my daughter. I'm just imagining this, that he was sitting there trembling in fear, wanting Jesus desperately to come to his house. And he's interrupted by this woman. And the matter is urgent. And soon it gets even more urgent. The people, his servants come to him and say, Mr. Jairus, sir, don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother the rabbi anymore. Your beloved daughter is dead." And his heart breaks. His miracle has gone. His miracle has vanished. And this lady has taken it away. But no, that is untrue. The miracle was not taken away. We know the end of the story. We know that Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead. But Jairus didn't know that. It seems that all was lost. It seems that the whole thing had fallen to pieces. His world is shattered. He wanted desperately Jesus to turn up, and now his daughter was dead. Don't bother the teacher. The blessing had gone to someone else. But that was not true. The blessing was still there. It was delayed a little bit, but it was still there, and Jesus came through for Jairus. And you may think that you're past being blessed, that you're too old, the situation has been going on too long, the situation is finished, nothing more can be done, but that is not the case. Jesus can turn up. Your blessing has not gone to your neighbor. It hasn't gone to the church down the road. The church you are teaching can still experience revival. The church you are teaching can still be raised from the dead. The situation with your marriage is not over. Your marriage can be raised from the dead. Your children can come back to you. The situation is not hopeless. What is the thing that you must do in the midst of this desperation? When you think that your blessing has wandered off down the road and gone away to someone who in your eyes is unworthy, someone who really didn't deserve that blessing. You might think, why are they blessed and I'm not blessed? But your blessing is still there. It's waiting for you to have faith. Do not fear. Only believe and she will be well. That's the verse there in verse 50. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear. Only believe and she will be made well. And this is the situation in your life. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not give in to the voice in your head that says, it's all over, it didn't work, the situation is a total mess. And no, do not fear. Do not let fear grab hold of you. Fear is false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Fear takes over our heart and our mind. We think, it's done for. My whole world has crumbled and God did not turn up. But God did turn up for Jairus. God did turn up and his daughter was raised from the dead. Do not give up hope. Do not give in to fear. Do not give in to panic. Push it to one side and believe that Jesus is going to turn up for you. Do not surrender to the voice of unbelief, the voice of doubt, the voice of anger and rebellion at God. Instead, believe that God is going to turn up. He's going to turn your situation around and that your situation will get better because God is going to send Jesus. He's going to send his holy angels. I mean, Jesus is God. That Jesus will send his holy angels to you. That God will send his spirit to you. That your situation will be changed as you truly believe and trust in God. Now, trusting God in the midst of a desperate situation is quite difficult. Yet Jairus and his wife seem to have done that. And Jesus put out all the mockers. He put away all the scoffers. He put away all the unbelievers. And he just took his top three disciples, Peter, John, and James, and took them in with him to receive the miracles. Why? Because they were the mature ones. They were the ones who had faith. The other nine disciples seemed to have had a lot less faith than the big three, Peter, James, and John. And they're the ones we have most from in the scriptures. So we see at this point that Jesus just creates an atmosphere of faith around Jairus' daughter. He takes in the essential people, the father and the mother, kicks out all the mockers and the scoffers and the people laughing at him, says, get out, and they do. That's his authority. He scatters them, and then he takes the parents and Peter, James, and John, and here this room is full of faith. And where a room is full of faith, it's full of angels. It's full of healing power. And Jesus releases his healing power, grabs the girl by the hand, and says, child, arise. And little girl, arise. And she rises up, and soon she is healed. And then he gives her a normal instruction, give her something to eat. And she goes forth. And the people are rejoicing, and they're astonished. And it says, and her parents were amazed. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. How can they do that? How can you have your daughter raised from the dead and then have to go out and say nothing to anybody? Of course they can't obey that. They have to go out and tell their uncles, their aunties, everyone in the community, my daughter was dead, but she is now alive. What are the mockers and scoffers outside when they see the little girl presented to them and they say, oh my goodness, what has happened here? Jesus has done it yet again. And the whole world gasps. And yet Jesus said to them, tell no one what had happened. Keep it to yourself. Keep it in your heart. Look at the miracle of God and cherish it. Sometimes when we tell our miracles to other people, particularly when there are mockers and scoffers around or people of the world, they say, oh, it was just a coincidence. Oh, you don't know what happened. It was probably something else. You probably was this or was that. And your miracle is mocked. Your miracle is taken away from your heart and your mind. You know what happened. You know you were healed. I know my back was healed. And someone say, well, you just, the way you moved, it just clicked it back into place or this or that or the other. Well, the world mocks our miracles, but we need to cherish them in our heart and in our mind and keep a hold of them. And that's why Jesus told the parents to tell no one what had happened. He didn't want those mockers and scoffers telling them that their miracle was just this or just that instead. Because the mockers and scoffers never really believe in miracles. They're just there to make fun of Jesus, to make fun of faith, to make fun of those people who trust Jesus with their whole heart and their whole mind. When you have faith, there's a lot of people who don't believe. And when you take your step of faith out into the world, when you go and do what God has called you to do, these people just mock and scoff and say, well, Jesus isn't going to turn up for you because he didn't turn up for me. Well, why didn't Jesus turn up for them? Because they were unbelieving. They were doubting. They did not call upon God with the right heart and a right mind. And of course, Jesus did not turn up for them because of their appalling attitude. They were mockers and scoffers and unbelievers and sinners. And Jesus did not turn up for them because there was no faith in their hearts or in their minds. God seeks faith. All through our study on the book of Luke, we find Jesus seeking faith. He wants to see the faith that's in your heart. And he often tests that faith by putting you through a little circumstance where your faith is stretched. And this is what happened to Jairus. He believed, and then his faith was stretched as he saw the situation with the woman with the issue of blood, and it was stretched again when he heard about his daughter's death, but his faith survived. His faith survived all these disappointments, and he was able to see the great miracle of God. And your faith has to put up with stress, with pressure, with disappointment, with things happening that you did not expect to happen, and then all of a sudden there'll be the breakthrough. All of a sudden the situation will change in an instant when Jesus turns up. You see, Jesus does things in a moment that the physicians could not do in 12 years. They couldn't get this woman who had the issue of blood well. She tried, she did this, she did that. But Jesus, in an instant, as she touched Jesus' robe, the whole situation was transformed and she was right. She was as right as rain. It was all fixed. You see, Jesus in a moment can do more than the world can do in a lifetime or in 12 years. Or in one case, a man who had been lame for 38 years, and Jesus healed him in a moment. In a moment, Jesus can change your entire life, and all the processes up to that point, all worldly processes that people have tried, or the superstitious things, or going to voodoo doctors or witch doctors or all the rest, they're futile. But Jesus will come through for you. Your trust and your faith needs to be in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So what have we learned today about faith? Firstly, we find out that faith brings the miracle. Jesus says so. He says, your faith has made you well. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And that's verse 48. And in verse 50, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. Faith leads to the result. Faith makes things better when it's combined with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Next thing we find out is once we've got faith, we should create an atmosphere of faith in order to see Jesus turn up. That's what happened as Jesus brought Peter, James, and John. There's a place for getting together with others who believe, who have faith, and to have intercessors and those around you at the time when your miracle happens. Thirdly, faith overcomes fear. We need to, and here in verse 50, do not fear, only believe. We have to put our fears to one side, and that can be very difficult. But we put our fears to one side, push them out the window, say, no, I'm not going to give in to you. I am going to believe. I'm not going to have fear. I'm not going to let fear have the last word. So when you get afraid, say no to fear. It's false evidence appearing real. Say no to fear and push it away and let God take control of the situation. Do not fear, only believe. And so there's some of the things that we've learned about trusting in Jesus. And we find that God has miracles for you. God is not out of miracles. He hasn't used up his quota. The miracle that seems to have vanished to someone else is still available for you. And you can reach out to Jesus Christ right at this moment, right during this broadcast, and get healed, and to get saved, and to get filled with the Holy Ghost and anything else you want God to do in your life. So let's ask God together for a miracle for you. Not just a miracle for me, but a miracle for you, for your neighbor, for your family. Cry out to God and ask God for your miracle. Believe God. Believe that Jesus will turn up. Believe that what he says is true. Believe that God loves you. Believe that God's got that miracle for you, that when you go to Jesus, your request will be granted. He will not push you away. You can go boldly to the throne of grace in time of need, and grace from heaven will flow into your life. You don't have to do it all on your own. You don't have to give in to your doubts. You don't have to give in to your fears. Jesus is there for you. Cry out to the Lord now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that God is there. We believe that Jesus is love. We believe that you've got a miracle. For everyone listening to this broadcast right now, I pray that they will receive the miracle they need, that they will receive healing, that they will be saved and trust in Jesus for eternal life, that they will receive the grace of God in their mind, their spirit, their soul, their body, their finances, their health. Everything they need will be turned around, that they will prosper, that you will lift them up and not put them down. We ask, Lord, for miracles of deliverance, of healing, of every other kind of miracle. We ask, Lord, that they will believe and they will receive, and all of this will be to the glory of God. We get the blessing. God gets the glory. May your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's it for this session of Insights for Eternity. Keep tuned in to the same station, same time next week, and we will continue our discussion of the book of Luke. And if you'd like some more audio teaching, you can go to our website at eternityradio.org. That's go to our website, our MP3 teaching website, at eternityradio.org. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.